And welcome to Line of Vienna Sweet Podcast. I think it's episode 33. I'm pretty sure it's episode 33. Was it 32 last week, Liam? I'm pretty sure it's
32. It was. This is definitely 33.
Good, because you know, I've been a bit out of the loop recently, because as you may or may not know, I'm Daniel Murphy, and this is my first podcast in, what, a month and a half, maybe? Maybe more? Oh, it's been far too long, everyone. Far, far too long. With me on this fine Sunday evening is, of course, Liam O'Mara.
Hello there. How's it going?
Yeah, how's it going, Liam? Having a good weekend and whatnot?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. It's good to have you back. I'm sick of Rob not recording full sections. So I have to stay at night recording podcasts. But yeah, it's good to see you again, mate.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Obviously, I don't feel comfortable being on the podcast if I've not, you know, not really seen much of us. But thankfully, I came home for the weekend. And got to see my beloved Bolton Wanderers actually not lose a game, which was very fun. And joining me today is another Line of Vienna Sweet Podcast debutant, as we like to spread it around and get everybody on once every now and then. It is Mr. Jamie Moss. Jamie, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and whatnot?
About myself? Well, that's always the hardest question to answer. I think that's just an interview or something.
Yeah, I did drop the ball on you a bit there, but do the best you can.
Oh, well, okay. I've been a Bolton fan for like 14 years. I think it was 14 years ago, first match I remember being at. Mm-hmm. Don't get up too much. Live in Bristol, unfortunately, but get up as much as possible.
Of course.
Generally, to watch us lose, I can't actually remember the last time I saw us win live. Probably against Blackburn. Yeah, Blackburn last year. That was fun.
Oh, man, that is not
always Blackburn, actually.
Yeah.
Don't think I've seen us not beat Blackburn in a while, but there we go. Maybe to come again this year.
What? So, if you're from Bristol, what makes you a Bolton Wanderers fan?
It's my dad's fault.
Is it my dad's fault?
Yeah, he's from up that way. Got into football when he was living in Bolton, and the rest is.
Do you not regret not supporting one of the Bristol City, because Bristol Rovers are shit. Well, Bristol City is shit, really, but
Bristol Rovers just basically, yeah. Sizzy had a good season last year. Watched a few times. Really good.
It's just going a bit.
I struggle this year. My mate's a big Bristol City fan, and he's not confident. But there we go.
Well, anyway, enough of these pleasantries and whatnot. We should get on to talking about, you know, the thing that makes us so sad all the time. So, Liam, I believe you're the only one among us who went to the Tuesday night game, because there has been two games in the space of last time there was a podcast. So, all I know is that we were shit and Paul fucking Robinson scored against us, because I was watching Sheffield United at that time, watching our mate Chrissy Basham play pretty well, surprisingly enough. Captain of Sheffield United. I had no idea. So, how was Tuesday night, briefly, Liam?
Well, a lot of people came away very frustrated on Tuesday. I was probably the most frustrated of them.
Okay.
Because whilst we didn't play particularly well, and I think most of that was how good Birmingham are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they've been doing well, but I put it down to perhaps a little bit of luck, you know, grinding out results. That's not the case at all. Damari Gray is really starting to develop. I'll be very surprised if someone doesn't take a chance on him in January, because he ran the game from start to finish all over the pitch.
Mm.
So they were very, very competent.
Yeah.
Having said that, we created three or four very, very good chances.
So
I can see why Lennon felt the need to go and get Amiobi based on what he saw, because it was just a joke, really. You know, Heskey had a couple of really good chances with the ball, and the ball's in the air. You know, this is what he's done all his career. He should be connected with these crosses. Dean's obviously continues to struggle, really. And, it was all very frustrating. And when you see Paul Robinson at 3'6", you know, ghosting in and nodding past Ben Amos, it just encapsulates a very frustrating night, Dan.
Yeah, it didn't. Obviously, I was following the game through Twitter, because Sheffield United's ground, despite being a shithole trapped in the 80s, you can get 3G there, which, unlike the Reebok, so I was managing to follow it, and it wasn't very pleasant reading, as obviously we fell to a 1-0 loss to Birmingham. And I agree with you, Birmingham are a good side. I actually had them as my outside bet to get to the playoffs. Like, I think they'll finish sixth, because Gray Rourke's a good manager, and as you say, Gray, Donaldson, a couple of really good players there, so be interested to see how they do. But on to something a bit more recent, and something I can certainly talk a bit more about, because I was there. Saturday's game, we drew 1-1 with Leeds United. Obviously, the new man, as you alluded to there, Big Shaw Amiobi, in the most obvious goal in the world, put us put us ahead. I'm so annoyed. I didn't bet on it. Like, genuinely enraged. And then in the second half, Prince, after slipping on the halfway line, gave away... Well, he shouldn't have given away a penalty because it was a fucking ridiculous decision, but a penalty was given and Mameko Antonucci equalised. So, Jamie, obviously you were at the game, but, you know, you've seen enough of the highlights. You've obviously followed the game and whatnot. What were your thoughts coming out of it? What was your thoughts on the game?
So unsurprised to go 1-0 up and not win. Probably the overriding thought. I mean, great goal from Amiobi. Took that well, I thought. If he can keep on doing that all season, then, you know, who knows? He scored 11 goals, didn't he? What, 20 games last time he was in the Championship? Maybe we found something good this time up front. Who knows? I thought Prince was unlucky, I guess, to get caught out like that for the penalty slipping over, but like you say, it's such a stupid challenge. Predictable, because defenders just do that, don't they? They try and get back, try and make up, and
I put it down for Prince, down to like a lack of experience and maybe just the eagerness to atone for his slip, and I think he was fouled on the halfway line before the slip, for one. Then he obviously slipped, and the pace he showed to get back, though, you think Antonucci had a good 15-yard head start on him because Prince was still on the floor.
Yeah.
If you watch the YouTube back, Prince is absolutely rapid to catch up, and it was never a penalty in the slightest, or a red card for that matter. Absolute fucking joke. What did you think of the decision, Jamie?
I don't know. I don't know if I can really remember it well enough to say whether it was or wasn't. I mean, it's the ones you see him and you go, you could give it, you could not, isn't it, sort of thing. It wasn't Stonewall, he didn't take him out completely, but player falls away from the penalty area. You're kind of asking for it, aren't you?
To be fair to the referee, in real time, like when I saw it happen, it definitely looked like a penalty, but when you see the replays, Prince hardly, if at all, touches him. Liam, what did you make of the whole Prince ordeal and in their goal?
I've been saying it every week that Prince has mistakes in him.
Oh, definitely.
I know. Exactly. So this is why I simply don't rate him.
What? Oh, no.
I don't rate him at all. And you can be as good an athlete as you want when you're a defender, but if you've not got the brains, if you're not reliable enough, you're going to cost points, and he's going to cost us points all season with incidences like this. For me, it doesn't matter whether he failed him or not. The position that he's found himself in is has come from his mistake again.
To be fair, in this one occasion, I think I'd let players, if they slip and lose their footing, I blame that goal more on Derek, to be honest with you, because it came just after Dobby's chance, which nearly put us 2-0 up, and the ball came out onto the left-hand side, and if Derek had have actually ran towards the ball, he would have won it easily. Instead, he backed off the player, and then that player paid the pass to Antonucci, and obviously whatever happened. And I do think you've been a bit harsh on Prince. I'd say he's been our most reliable defender all season.
I'd say we disagree on that, Dan, but I don't think necessarily being our most reliable defender is a fantastic award.
True.
Being honest,
I think you'd. I think you're like the one only person who has that opinion. Obviously, I agree with you wholeheartedly. He has like complete brain farts in him when he'll cock up, but usually, most of the time, he has the pace and the awareness, to be fair, and the strength and all of the good attributes you need for a defender to atone for it. But you know,
perhaps I am the only one with that view. No, but I wouldn't. I must admit, he's not my kind of defender. It's for me, it's Abdoulaye Mete all over again.
Oh, it's better than Mete, even I know that. And I thought Mete was good back in the day.
We were top 10 Premier League when we had Mete. But, let's be honest. These mistakes are going to keep happening. I strongly believe that. And for me, the disorganisation of our centre-backs with our goalkeeper just compiles the problem even more. He'd probably be alright if Amos could control the situation, but I don't believe Amos has any sort of, control over his defence, and I think that makes the problem worse.
Okay.
For Prince.
Interesting. Jamie, what do you think of Prince in general since we've come onto this topic?
I don't know. I was at the QPR game a few weeks ago, and I thought he was having a really good display, but then he made the mistake, sort of in the lead up to one of QPR's goals, and I was a bit like, ah. Because it wasn't a great bit defending out on the right. I think it's when he's moved out to right back. And
like I said, I don't like any centre back playing right back. Me, they never look comfortable. Same with Derek.
No. I mean, I agree. Especially when we've got two right backs. I mean, Pisano might be injured. He seemed to go off in the QPR game, but Wilson just seems to have disappeared without a trace. And I don't understand that. When he brings in two right backs, you've got to play one of them.
Or even played Vela.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like, we'll come on to just Vela now, actually. He got his place back in the team finally against Leeds. And apparently, he was thinking maybe he'll put him at right back because obviously he's not been playing in midfield at all. And we know Vela is very dependable there. So I thought Vela played very well. He made our midfield look a lot more balanced, a lot more solid. He passed the ball well. He linked up very well with Casado and Prattley at points. So, Liam, are you happy to see Vela back in the side?
Yeah, of course I am. You know, you want to see your own in there, and he's a very competent player, isn't he? Obviously, there are some reasons as to why he's not playing. Really, we don't know why, because, you know, Neil Lennon isn't stupid.
That's the question,
isn't it? Yeah, Neil Lennon isn't stupid, and it was Neil Lennon who reinstated Josh Vela straight back into the team. You know, looked like he was making him a real force in our team, putting him in at right back just to have him in there. So, obviously, you know, there's something has changed, but... Yeah, I mean, like all Bolton fans, you want to see, you know, the academy prospects getting onto the pitch, particularly the ones that are competent enough to be there, like Josh Vela.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's the best in our midfield. In our midfield, I feel like he's just the best at just passing the ball, really, just getting hold of it and being composed enough to spread it out to the others. Because Prattley's player, I'll come on through. Actually, I didn't think he had his best games against Leeds. I thought he was. Him and Dan's, actually, I thought they were both very good off the ball in closing down players, work, you know, energy, all the things you expect from those two. Just running down the flanks in the diamond all day long and just putting pressure on players and whatnot. But I thought both of them on the ball, they were a bit, obviously, Dan's being poor and the ball's a bit of a given. I thought Prattley's touch was a bit slack. He made a couple of good passes every now and then, but I thought on the whole he just wasn't that good. I hear he wasn't very good against Birmingham either, Liam.
No, he wasn't. I think he's still nowhere near up to it in terms of match sharpness. Yeah. And I think if Neil Lennon felt he had the quality to do so, I think he wouldn't be relying on Prattley as much as he has done on his return. You know, his tackling's wayward, his passing's off the mark, he's covering a lot less ground. He's just rusty. You know, he's not up to match sharpness yet. So, you know, I don't think we can be too critical of him.
Yeah.
But perhaps he needs taking out the team.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's hard when he's your captain. I think United have got the same problem now. They've got Rooney as the captain, so they can't really drop him. I think we might have the similar problem, but if Spearing's back for the Preston game, I think I'd look to maybe rest him Prattley, but obviously more on that in due course. I'll tell you someone who I did think played really well on Saturday, and he was easily my man of the match, actually, was the Spanish left-back Jose Manuel Casado. Now, he's in serious danger of being, you know, of taking up Tim Ream's role of being my love, because his beard's magnificent for one. But he's just really good. He's like, he seems, where's Dean Moxey? I like Moxey's probably played very well this year, but he always seems a bit gung-ho on the ball. He never seems really in control. I thought Casado was just very composed whenever he was on the ball. He doesn't seem the most paciest of players, but seems a lot more technical, able to swing a good ball in, even though his corner for the goal was the shittest corner I've ever seen, and we still scored from it. Yeah, and I thought he was very, like I said, he was my man of the match, because their wingers, who, you know, Stuart Dallas, a very good player, and the other fella, Lewis Cook, is a highly thought of youngster. None of them got any joy against Casado in the slightest. He was always anticipating the ball, always clearing it, always getting in front of him. And the favourite part about his game was he's got a bit of fire about him. Like, Chris Wood must be about a foot taller than him, but he didn't give a shit. He was still giving him a couple of F-bombs and whatnot. And he just has a bit of fight about him. I think that's something the Bolton team's been lacking in recent years, wouldn't you say, Jamie?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that was always the thing I certainly liked about Paul Robinson at left-back. Not the best player in the world, but he would fly into a tackle and wouldn't take any shit from the opposition, just go for it. But it's interesting you say he's got, like, good technique, because, of course, Casado started off at Barca in their youth system, so clearly he learnt something, I suppose. So, calm on the ball, cool on the ball, that sort of thing. I don't know what I'm about to say. Go on.
It's an interesting debate that Chris brought up on his... obviously, he can't be here tonight for unforeseen circumstances, which, you know, gratefully timed that I was on so I could take over hosting responsibilities. But in his Five Things piece from the Leeds game, he wondered what we'd do with Casado when Moxie's back. And one of the arguments is to play, you know, either Moxie or Casado, probably Casado, a bit further forward in a more advanced position. Do you think there's any merit in that at all, Liam?
I do, yes, but I would prefer Moxey up there.
Do you think? Why is that?
Pace, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't like that Finney's our only pace option. So I think Moxey has a real talent of getting to the byline, and he's got a good left foot on him. So it's not ideal. I know it's square pegs round holes a little bit, but I think he would be better than Casado at doing that in the championship. Not as a whole, but we, you know, it's all about pace and strength up top in this division, and I think Moxie can offer more in that department than perhaps Casado could. But what I would say about Casado is that I wasn't impressed with him in the Birmingham game, but by all accounts, it looks like he stepped up in the Leeds game. Mm. And again, it's just a case of that match sharpness, isn't it? Because he did struggle a little bit in the Birmingham game.
Was he against Gray?
Yeah, well, Gray was all over the place. So I think Bolton in general struggled to pick him up and, you know, where he would be. I think, you know, Clayton Donaldson was targeting him, going over onto his side.
Yeah, obviously, he's a small fella.
Yeah, when he was on the ball, he just seemed to slow the game down a little bit. I know you've mentioned that he's brought a touch of calmness, perhaps in the league game, Leeds game, sorry. But in the Birmingham game, when we were trying to, you know, raise the tempo a little bit.
Yeah, he was too slow. Around, yeah, I can see that.
I found it quite frustrating, but, you know, it sounds like by pretty much every account that he's really stepped it up, so that is good to see.
Yeah, same question to you, Jamie. Would you see any merit in playing both Moxie and Casado on the left, or do you think that's a bit too defensive?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I think I mentioned it about Pisano and something I wrote about him a while ago, because he's got pace. All the reports from him about Italy is good attacking threat and stuff like that. And I think Wilson's played right wing, left wing. Admittedly, I think it might have been in the conference when he was playing for Stevenage. But, you know, it's still, you know, I don't think there's any problem with that. As long as they've got the pace, the crossing ability, etc., you know, put the player there, can do the job. And we've only got Feeney and Walker fit at the moment who can really play those positions anyway. Yeah. So, you know, you've got to maybe put something else in there occasionally. Why not?
Hmm. Yeah, I think it's an interesting debate. I've never been really a fan of playing two, like, defenders on one side, really. I think, you know, it's stunting, really, because you never have... It's a defender playing out wide, isn't it? It's not an attacker and a more attacking-minded player. But with Casado, I feel like he's good enough on the ball to play in the midfield, and he could link up well with the likes of Vela and whatnot. He did it already. He was playing a few. Vela and Casado were forever playing 1-2s with each other along that touchline and getting down it really well and creating chances. Another player I'd like to quickly mention, because obviously we've been the only one at the game. I need to, like, instigate this thing. But Liam Feeney, he came in for a bit of stick after the game, because he missed a couple of chances. But he was played up front, you know, originally, because we played the diamond, and Feeney, you know, the only bit of pace we actually have in the team. So he was played up front, first with Medine, who went off with concussion, and then Big Shola, who we'll talk about later on in a glorious detail. But I thought he actually played well, and I might come in for, you know, some throat slits for this, but he played well up front, and I think because of his pace, and Shola Amiobi actually mentioned it in his interview, Feeney stretched the defence and pulled them away from Amiobi, who could then get on the ball, and it led to one brilliant chance, which Amiobi played a delightful through ball to Feeney, and he should have scored, but alas. So, Liam, I was just wondering, what do you make of Feeney playing up front rather than out wide, if we to continue with this diamond formation, which is our best formation, it would seem so.
He's competent there. He is competent there. I've liked it when I've seen him in the past play there. He obviously has played it a lot in the past. I mean, I'm not sure when, but he does seem to have an understanding of the position that would suggest that he has done.
Yeah.
He sort of knows what he's good at when he's doing it, i.e. moving around, keeping the defenders busy, running at people. He does know sort of what to do.
You know what I find he's surprisingly good at? He's very good with his back to defenders and holding it up and then bringing others in, which is weird because it's Feeney. He's good at keeping hold of the ball and playing it off. I feel like when he's trying to play on the shoulder, he gets caught offside too often. His touch isn't good enough.
I think you're right, Dan. I think Feeney's biggest weakness as a winger is his absolute sheer need in his head to get the ball in the box. Because a lot of the times he'll take on an impossible cross and just surrender possession. But centrally, he seems to not have that problem. He seems to open himself up to the idea of keeping the ball, moving it around the pitch. And it's better. So if he could sort of take those sorts of attributes into his normal position, he'd probably be a lot better player for us. My criticism of Feeney isn't sort of the basics of what he does, because it is very good. I find that he can hide defensively from us, and he can...
Kind of times, yeah.
He can hug the line when it really isn't sort of what Bolton need at times. We'll have the ball on the left-hand side and he'll be right on the right touchline, which some fans, you know, may think is good, but it's not, because it's one less option, because realistically, we don't want to be knocking a 50-yard ball across to him when, you know, his touch isn't that good, is it?
No.
So, centrally, yeah, I mean, it's all well and good, but it doesn't really solve our problems up there, though, to be honest.
Yeah, same to you, Jamie. What do you reckon of Feeney being a striker?
I guess I look at Max Clayton on the bench and sort of wonder whether it's a missed opportunity there. But I mean, if he's doing a job, and I mean, I do still trust Lennon's judgment. If he thinks he's the best player to play there, then maybe he is. I mean, the pace and everything will stretch defences. It will push them. Gives him something else extra to think about. But
you do make a great point with Clayton there, because I think he, with the chance that Amiobi put on a plate for Feeney, I feel Clayton is a lot more composed in front of goal to do something more with that. And I'm so surprised that in the dying minutes, I thought when Lennon brought on Devitt and took Dan's off, I was so surprised he didn't go for Clayton instead of Amiobi, just to have a bit more pace up front, because despite being down to 10 men, we still were getting up the pitch, we were still getting in and around the goal. And I think Amiobi was a big part of that, don't get me wrong, because his hold up play was, you know, pretty important. But I feel like if we had Clayton up there to just hurry defenders a bit more, we'd have, I don't know, it's impossible to say how it would have gone, but I feel like that may have been an opportunity missed. But obviously, when you're down to 10 men, you don't want to go, you know, gung-ho when you've got a point in the bag, really. I feel like just a couple more points I'd like to make. Obviously, it's a bit hard for you to comment, but Derek at right-back, you saw him there on Tuesday night, I presume, Liam. I don't like it at all. He doesn't offer enough going forward when he has it, and then he's just, don't like it. It needs to end.
No, I agree. I completely agree with you, Dan. And generally, centre-backs don't sort of move to that position well. And I think Derek is another example of it. I must admit, Derek is, for me, the most disappointing sort of player in this season. I know it's still early days, but I must admit, in pre-season, I got very excited by Derek. But I'm just not seeing it now.
I just feel like he needs a run of games in his position alongside one person.
Perhaps. But, you know, is he going to get in there at the moment? Not. That's it. We're quite lucky at centre-back in the sense that all four of our mediocre players are now fit.
Yeah.
So he's got a battle on his hands to have a place there. So probably for Derek, it's a case of either he can cope and play it right-back or really not see any game time at the moment, unfortunately.
And I think just one final point. If Matt Davis obviously went off at half-time, his first injury in about 12 games, which is a fucking brilliant run for him. Oh, not 12 games. What, maybe 11 games he's played in a row, I'd say, something like that. And he went off with an inflamed Achilles, which, you know, I'm no doctor, but it doesn't sound particularly pleasant, but it doesn't seem like it's a serious thing. So if we need him, because in the second half, his performance was weird. He wasn't like that influential with the runs and stuff, but I feel like once he went off, we could not keep hold of the ball at all, and that just led to Leeds dominating. We need him to be fit for Preston, because that is such a massive game, and if he's not, I'd quite scared, to be honest with you. What do you reckon, Jamie?
Well, I mean, actually, the number of games he's played in a row must be a record. It must be the most he's put together in a Bolton shirt. Well, he's such a good player, isn't he? He may not always play to his potential, but he's probably the most talented player on our squad, maybe give or take the likes of Clough. He's definitely up there.
Yeah.
And he can play to be one of the best in the league, and definitely miss him, especially with, I mean, his spearing back. If not, you start to question who else we'd bring in. I can't remember who we had on the bench in midfield.
Dobby and Tomadic. Lol.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, you don't want to start Dobby, I don't think, do you? And
no.
I won't even try and pronounce his name. I think you got it right, but I haven't got a clue. Philip, isn't it? That's his first name. He just hasn't done anything yet, first team level, has he?
And
I wouldn't want to put him in important game. You know, whether we like it or not right now, Preston, that's relegation six-pointer, and need our best players fit for that.
Yeah, definitely. But we'll come on to Preston in due course in a bit more detail. Any final points on Leeds, lads? I know it's a bit hard to say anything when you've not seen it, but anything to add?
Yeah, actually. Okay. I think it's one of those where, you know, don't get me wrong, 15, 20 minutes to go, you're hoping that we can take the 3 points, but given the change of circumstances, it could be a big point for us at the end of the year, so I'm quite pleased with it, really.
Yeah, well, especially when they've got a new manager in, and teams usually get buoyed by that and have a bit of a bounce effect.
I don't think that's going to happen with Steve Evans.
See, I don't know Steve Evans. He's a weird character, and I don't think he's like the most tactically gifted managers in the world, but I feel like he's better than a lot of people give him credit for, and they shouldn't really give him credit because he's a fucking absolute mess of a man, but hey-ho. Anything to add, Jamie? Are we all good?
I don't know. I was just remembering, though. I remember reading that the reason why Josh Feller, this is going right back to the beginning, but okay. I think one of the reasons why Josh Feller was dropped was I think Lennon said he was playing within himself this season, I think was the exact line. I just remembered, I think Liam saying he didn't really know why he'd been dropped. I think that might have been why.
Yeah, it's just weird since he played, what, one game, which was played at right wing back against Middlesbrough, so...
Yeah, it's
pretty,
I don't know.
That's pretty of a bit of a bullshit comment from Lennon there, really, but yeah, we'll come on to Lennon in due course as well, but... We'll leave that there for the Birmingham and Leeds games, and we'll be back momentarily to talk about news and whatnot, which, you know, there's a little bit, so let's talk about it, eh? See you later. Hello, and welcome back to Love Pod 33. I'm Dan, I'm still joined by Jamie and Liam, and we're going to talk about what's been happening in the last week in the world of, you know, the always delightful... Always delightfully exciting and not at all depressing world of Bolton Wanderers. Now, obviously, the biggest news of the week, which we've obviously alluded to quite a bit, is that Bolton have finally, you know, had a success in the striker hunt. I don't know if the striker hunt has ended, but we've got one in, and that is former Newcastle, Crystal Palace, and some shit Turkish teams, Şule Amiobi. So, pretend that Saturday didn't happen, lads, and Liam, I wanted some of your reaction to Amiobi would have been. Had he have not scored on Saturday, what would you be saying now if he didn't score?
I'd probably understand it based on what I saw on Tuesday. Now, he probably didn't really want to. I think, Judge, I've just had a quick look on Twitter, and it looks as though Lennon's written about a vindication of the signing of Şule Amiobi to be read tomorrow in the Bolton News. Now, I'm very surprised. I mean, I don't think for one second that he really wanted to sign Şule Amiobi.
Yeah.
But it sounds to me that if the guy came in on trial and he ticked the fitness boxes, they probably left it as a plan B file.
Yeah.
And after Tuesday and how sort of impotent we were in attack, it was a case of, well, let's get him in for 2 or 3 months then.
Hmm.
It's not going to have cost us a fortune, is it?
Yeah.
So I'd probably understand it. As much as I'm not inspired by it, yeah. I understand it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think when the rumour first came up that we had him on trial and stuff, I wrote saying that I don't think he's that bad a player, but he's just too similar to Heskey and Medin, as in the target men who doesn't score. So I'd rather us save the little wages we do have and try and get anyone else who has a little bit more different about him. But obviously that's not come off, and needs must. We've got Amiobi in. But I also said, what did I say? I said something really good. I can't remember it. I had it on the tip of my head and it's fucking gone. That's annoying. Jamie. You answer the question about what would you have said to Amiobi signing before Saturday whilst I try and think of what I was going to say, because that's annoying me now.
Well, I don't know. When it first sort of came up that we had Amiobi around, I wasn't too upset. I sort of think we could have done worse than Amiobi, I think, given the situation. I heard one of the reasons might be that he went away. He could have cost too much, came back a bit cheaper.
Mm.
Might make sense in our... specific predicament, I don't know. I mean, it was always going to rest on how he played in the first couple of games, wasn't it? So
yeah.
I was always going to keep a mildly open mind to it at the very least, but I mean, it stank of desperation to sign him on the Friday and put him into the squad on the Saturday, but you know, I think paid it off. So
I remembered what I was going to say. I think, I'm not sure if it was, but I was going to say, I think the deal we've done for Amiobi is actually quite good. I think on a pay-as-you-play till January, I think that's... I imagine pay-as-you-play deals work because then he'll get like a base sum that is practically now, and then he'll get bonuses upon appearances. So I think that's, you know, that's actually pretty good business for us to spend, you know, the least amount of money possible and to get him in. And I think, like I said, if before he'd scored on Tuesday, I'd have been very disappointed that we couldn't get anybody else in. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So, and I've always said that, he's in the same mould as Heskey and Medin. He seems a bit more mobile and seems just that bit more quicker and that bit more capable on the floor than those two. And I think he proved that on Saturday with his, not only his goal, but like his work on the floor. He was very good at shrugging defenders off with the ball at his feet rather than just winning flick-ons and stuff. So I guess the question is now, what do you reckon of Amiobi after Saturday, after he scored a pretty good goal within 20 minutes of his debut? And looked pretty decent. I'm sure he, or Lennon, or anyone expected him to play 78 minutes of football, which must have been quite hard on the legs for, you know, for someone who's not been at a club for 6 months' time and just come straight in. So, Liam, what did you make of Amiobi? What do you make of Amiobi signing now?
Yeah, well done to him. You know, he's come and he's scored. I mean, obviously, certain parts of the media were obviously ready to jump on him for a poor performance, but he's come and he's give it a go and he's got his goal. So yeah, you know, it's great, good on him. And hopefully, you know, I'm not expecting him to set any the world alight here, but you know, if he comes in and he does a better job than we think he's going to do, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, I think with Amiobi, what's the interesting thing about the whole situation is that he's not only our last resort, we're his last resort as well. He was denied by three clubs, us, Sheffield Wednesday and Wolves, which, you know, are probably a decent club, well, apart from us, two decent teams who he's gone for and, you know, has been turned down. I imagine he's had plenty more trials and stuff over the 6 months. They were just the publicised ones. So he's been constantly turned down at the level he still feels he's capable of playing at. And he needs us, he needs to do well here to keep his career going at a reasonable level. So I think I wrote in the little piece I did after about him being the last resort, isn't it? Like, we're both on the edge together and we need each other to do well in order to keep us both afloat. So I think that Amiobi's obviously self-motivations could stand us in good stead with him and could actually turn out pretty well. Jamie, what do you think of him now after his goal and performance on Saturday?
I think I always knew that was going to be a great signing. I was always very confident. It's like you say, it's always great to have a player when he's got something to prove.
Mm.
And, you know, if he's coming in, he's got to fight to continue his career at a high level, like you say, then that's good for all parties. I mean, yeah, pretty much covers it, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, he just did well. And, you know, it's enough, obviously, we don't know how long Medine's going to be out. It's only a concussion, so he'll miss Preston at the most. But, you know, one striker in, then one goes injured. It's just our luck, isn't it? But he's made me a lot more optimistic, and I reckon he's made a lot more fans a lot more optimistic about him than everyone was when it was first announced. But onto a bit more depressing news. Speaking of players on short-term deals, Wellington Silva, the Arsenal loanee, is out for 10 weeks, which means he'll miss another 10, 11 games now. Probably won't return till, I'd imagine, the first time we play in the FA Cup, which is early January. A torn hamstring against Birmingham City, which he was booked for diving as he hobbled off the pitch. So, Liam, are we disappointed in that, or are we happy that the diving, cheating scumbag won't be playing for us anymore?
It's disappointing, isn't it? The guy's a talented player, and we needed it. You know, I'm not a fan of the other antics, but, you know, let's be realistic. As it stands, he was someone, probably the only player that we had in the squad, able to turn a game on his own, just pick the ball up, go past someone, and, you know, I mean, his accuracy on his shooting isn't 100% yet, but one of those five will fly in a bit like Chris Eagles, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, it's a bit disappointing. 10 weeks is a long time, but these things happen in football, and it worries me how unable we are to react to it in what is really a normal, everyday football problem.
And, you know, I made it when Medine went off against Leeds, we've had an injury in our last four. We had five injuries in our last four games. So if you count Pisano against QPR, and Spearin against whoever that was against, I can't remember, and then Burnley, and then Silva, then Medine and Davis. That's five injuries in four games. The curse is back, and it's back with a fucking vengeance. Jamie, how do you feel about Silva's injury? Actually, before I do, was it a dive, Liam, in your honest opinion? Or do you think his hamstring just tore off so he fell over?
It was difficult to see where I was sat.
It definitely wasn't a penalty by any stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen a replay of it, obviously, since the incident, to be honest. But my instinct on it was that it didn't look like a dive from where I was. It looked a natural fall.
Yeah.
No, I've not seen the replay, and everyone could be sat going, what's the on about? But when I was obviously in the stands, it looked like a natural fall. I was screaming my head off for a penalty. And I don't tend to do that unless I think it is one. So I imagine the the case was it wasn't a dive. He's just hurt himself, and it's just a bit unfortunate how it's all looked in the end.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think in a million years it was a dive. He definitely has that in his game, don't get me wrong. Actually, does he? I don't think he does as naturally diving in his game. I think he has theatrics. I think he has rolling around 15 times after he's been touched. He definitely has that scumbaggery in his game, but I don't think he's a proper dive. I think he'll go down easily. But in that situation, I do think his hamstring's just gone and he's, you know, fallen over when your leg is in searing pain. But, Jeremy, do you think we'll miss Silver? I certainly do.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think you... I've never heard of anyone putting their hamstring diving for a start, so yeah, I guess exactly. Probably must be something else. But, I mean, yeah, I think he offers us something that no other player on our squad offers, mm-hmm. isn't it, I think? And something that we're definitely not going to be able to bring someone in to replace. Unless, I don't know, some Abu Dhabi billionaire decides to buy the club or something. We're not going to get a player in to replace that quality. I mean, he is a bit frustrating. I remember watching him juggling the ball along the touchline during a match. I was just like, that's... I don't know, if you're playing FIFA or something, fine, but in a professional football match, I'm not so sure. But, I mean, yeah, we're not going to replace what he brings. It puts us down to two wingers, and Lennon doesn't seem to fancy Walker at the moment, so really constricts options, which isn't great.
Yeah, why do you think the reason is of him not fancying Walker? Because I thought he was pretty decent last year, and I'm annoyed he's not getting more chance in the starting 11.
Well, he hasn't been... Has he started at all this season?
I think he started one game, the Silver's debut, which I can't remember what that was. I'll have a little gander. It might have been Wolves at home.
Oh, no, you're right.
It's Forest at home, I think.
He started on his least favourite wing, didn't he? Yeah, he didn't have a great game. I remember seeing about that, but... I mean, I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't fancy him. Maybe it's another one of these playing within himself.
Yeah, I think
it's scenarios.
Like Vela, he missed a bit of pre-season for injury and whatnot. So I think he's just not at the same level as everyone else fitness-wise, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Or maybe just be he's also missed out as the system's changed. We were playing the diamond at the beginning of the season, I think, weren't we? Wingers. Then we started playing wingers. We got Silver. It might be he's just not been there or thereabouts at the right point in time yet this season,
yeah,
perhaps.
Definitely. I think, yeah, I hope I see him soon, though, to be honest with you. But on to players who've left the club in recent weeks. Liam Trotter finally left, despite the deal going off for about 2 weeks due to apparently financial fair play regulations at Forest's end. But Dougie Freeman's again signing his own players, but this time it actually, you know, proved dividends as Trotter netted a 95th minute equaliser on his debut, which, you know, obviously. So, Liam, do you reckon we'll ever see Trotter in a Bolton shirt again?
No.
Yeah, ditto, ditto.
No, not at all. He's just immobile, isn't he? Mm. You know, and I'm not sort of moved at all by the fact that he's gone and scored. You know, I'm very comfortable in thinking that we've not just loaned out Yaya Toure tonight. I've seen enough of Liam Trotter to have my mind made up. And I'm someone who was quite defensive of him from the beginning and gave him a lot more chance than maybe others did. But if you're a midfielder and you don't run, you've got no chance. So... Liam Trotter will be one of those players that in 2-3 years, we won't even know where he is.
Mm. He's 27 already, you know. 27. That struck me to my core, that. So, Jeremy, what do you... Any thoughts on Trotter at all? Any heartbreak of seeing him leave?
Well, I couldn't believe he was 27. Yeah, that really did blow my mind. But, no, I was not sad to see him go. But, I mean, maybe keep on playing well. It's a month-long loan deal, isn't it?
So yeah,
maybe
he
can play really well, come back, and we'll finally sort of get the right side of players playing well on loan. I don't know, but sort of Lafondre in reverse or something. But yeah. I don't know, I'm not sad to see him go.
I will say...
He hasn't done much, so...
Yeah, I would agree, and I imagine he'll go and then he'll end up... In January, we'll end up like mutually agreeing to get rid of him, and he'll just go to Forest on a free, something like that, just to get him off the wage bill, something along those lines. Or they'll give us like 50k for him, something like that. Oh, I don't think they can sign players permanently or something, but something like that anyway.
No, they can't sign players permanently. They just got to. They can't exceed the wage budget they got at the moment. It's weird. It's not really financial fair play.
Maybe they'll sign him on loan until January or something. Then I'm pretty sure his contract's out at the end of the year, so they'll get him on a free then, something like that, just to get him off the wage bill. But I feel like there was a player there, but it's just because he's always injured and never been able to get in the team because we've got players better than him. It's just never happened. I feel like it's a bit annoying that, you know, Spearing, Davis, gift dropping like flies, and we've loaned him out when potentially could be a route back in the team for him, but hey-ho. And Chris did an interview with Radio Nottingham, I believe, which I will insert here, so this will be after this will be 3 minutes of Chris talking about Liam Trotter.
It's a difficult question to really answer what kind of player he is. I know the player I thought he was, and the one that we signed from Millwall was the kind of Aldi version of Yaya Toure. You know, he was a big, strong lad. He could run from the back, he could tackle, he could shoot, and he could score. But we haven't seen any of that, unfortunately. I think maybe had a bit of a duff information before we took the player on. I know we didn't pay very much for him. We had him on loan initially and then made his deal permanent when his contract expired. And one thing going in his favour is he's very, very cheap for us. His wages are amongst the lowest in the squad, supposedly, as well, when he signed for the club. But it's just not worked out. It's not worked out at all, and it's not been for the want of trying, because he's had plenty of appearances for the side. He's had, you know, a lot of minutes on the pitch. But when it came to it, he just couldn't convert that potential he had at Millwall into something tangible for Bolton. And I think the fact that he's only played 2 minutes this season and the struggles that we've had tells its own story.
Why would it not work at Bolton then? Is it to do with the way you play that's different to Millwall? Has he just not had the chance to play in that, you know, sitting role in front of the back four?
Yeah. I think it's a combination of all those factors. It's difficult to know what his exact best position is, because we've played him as a city midfielder and he's been all right. We've played him as an advanced attacking midfielder and he's been all right. It's just troubling, really, accommodating him in our midfield at present and knowing where his best place is. He doesn't seem to really influence the game in a way that you'd expect a 6'3", you know, he's probably about 16 stone, he's a big lad. Doesn't seem to do particularly much. You know, it's hard to work out where his best position is and where he might thrive. And I think that's why he suffered from that. Sometimes being too versatile can be a problem for players, and I think Trotter definitely comes into that category. I mean, he's not scored many goals. He doesn't really chip in a great deal defensively. And he also suffers a little bit from a lack of mobility, which sounds a bit strange given the fact he's a big lad and he can clearly move. When he's running with the ball, someone once compared him to somebody walking through quicksand with a fridge on the back. It's real slow, lumbering process. And I don't mean to fill you with negativity about your new signing, but I'm struggling to see where he fits in with Forrest. I understand it's an injury issue that's popped up and caused his temporary move to Forrest. But I'd be surprised if he was a long-term target of Dougie's, especially.
It's interesting, though, that Dougie Friedman has moved to sign him again, if he's been that bad, as you say, when he was
true.
At Bolton.
No, very true. But, I mean, you know, after all, we know Dougie doesn't like signing people from his former club, as he once famously said. We had any number of Crystal Palace waifs and strays through our door, and now it seems like Forrest is coming under the same sort of remit. But I agree, and it's a strange one. It really did come out of left field. A lot of us had forgotten he even played for Bolton, never mind Dougie forgetting he was there himself. So I really don't see where it's come from. I mean, I understand the situation with Forrest being desperate for midfielders, and so obviously he's a body that can do a job. He suffered from persistent injuries throughout his time with Bolton as well. Maybe that's another contributing factor to his lack of progress. Hamstrings have been the issue. I mean, we're becoming notorious for our ongoing niggly injury situation, but he's one that suffered more than most. I mean, he's been at the club now for the best part of 18 months, and I bet he's not made 30 or 40 appearances maybe in total. I don't see where he's going to fit in, but it's an interesting one, most definitely. It frees up some wages, so I guess Dougie's actions, now he's no longer Bolton manager, may even be benefiting us by freeing up somebody off the wage and allowing us to go for another centre forward.
I hope you enjoyed that, and no, that's enough talking about shite midfielders. We'll talk about shite defenders instead. Hayden White, who's still alive apparently, is on loan at Blackpool and he's got his first senior goal at the weekend. It wasn't a bad finish. Jamie, do you ever see White getting the team at all? You know, we've got a shortage of right backs apparently.
Yeah, has he made a first team appearance at Bolton?
He's made a couple. I think last year he came on for QPR when Ream went off when he broke his nose. Made a couple here and there. He's definitely played for the first team, yeah.
I mean, I think he's not. He's young, but he's not very young at the moment, isn't he?
No,
I think
he's 20, maybe 21. I'll search that up for you.
I don't know, you feel like he's getting to the point where if he's going to make it, he would be pushing a bit harder, but
Oscar Freckel syndrome. He's 20, Hayden White.
Okay, fair enough, but I don't know, If he's going out alone and going to Blackpool, he can't be that great, because they're relegation zone, I think, at the moment.
And they're just above.
Are they just above these days? Yeah. Well, go to them.
Yeah, Liam.
Saw a great car the other day, actually. It was completely orange. Completely yeah. Orange Ford with like a Blackpool thing in the window. I was like, oh god.
Absolute sticks.
But It's kind of depressing to see two players go out on loan and both score goals when struggled all season for goals, and that was the main depressing thing for me. But you know,
yeah, Liam, same to you. Do you ever see, you know, either, you know, Hayden White, Oscar Freckeld, people like that? Do you ever see him breaking into the team?
I think there's always time. You know, there's certainly. I'd be surprised if any did, having seen them. Yeah. You know, the level that we're at now, but that doesn't mean that it definitely won't happen. I think it's good for, obviously, Hayden White to go to Blackpool. It's still quite local. Obviously, it's only a division below, and, you know, getting his first goal, that's nice for him. I'd be honest, I'd be surprised, well, actually, saying that, with the direction we're headed, we may well catch him up in terms of level, but, you know, I'd be surprised if these players did break into our team. Having said that, you know, if they're going away and they're doing the right thing, then it's not an impossibility.
Yeah, and just one final little tidbit of news. Former Wanderer Chris Eagles has found a new club. He signed with League One side Bury. Now, I'm sure there'll be a few Bolton fans out there that actually wouldn't be opposed to having Eagles back in at Bolton. So, Liam, what do you reckon of Eagles at Bury? Do you reckon he'll do well there? He played 50 minutes against Shrewsbury as they lost 2-0.
Yeah, I think he'll do very well. He's a gifted player. I was never a massive fan. I couldn't be dealing with the ego on the side of things and the compulsive need to shoot and be the hero all the time. It's not something that really sort of endeared to me, to be honest. But I think, obviously, I'd have him in the team now, you know. But I don't know. I just wish him luck at Bury, and I think he'll do very well there. Yeah. What about you, Jamie?
Yeah, I think, like you say, talented player, but he was always so hit and miss, wasn't he? He'd never or rarely string together sort of 4 or 5 games in a row at a high enough level, and dropping down another level, maybe he will now, but no, definitely a good signing for Bury in my book, that.
So that's about it for Bolton news. A bit of a quiet week, but, you know, hopefully there'll be a bit more excitement this week. Maybe we'll finally sign a half-decent striker who isn't sure of Amiobi, but stay with us, because we'll be talking about the, as Jamie alluded to earlier, the relegation six-pointer with Preston North End next. Oh, and welcome back to Love Pod 33. Obviously, Bolton, Halloween next Saturday, and Sky have decided to put on a fucking horror show, as they will be broadcasting Preston North End v Bolton Wanderers to the world, to England, I should say. Well, it could be very scary for the Whites if we lose in this game, because that would see us drift quite considerably at the bottom of the table. So it really is a must win. Liam, how do you see the game going? What team would you play, etc., etc.?
It's a tricky game, isn't it? And it's such a big game. And I'd be honest, I don't think we're ready for it. I wouldn't have minded this in a couple more weeks, maybe for us to adjust to losing Wellington, first of all, and perhaps give Mark Davis a little bit more time to recover. My team would very much depend on, you know, Mark Davis being fit, really, because... And the team's built around him.
Yeah.
So if he's not fit, you're all of a sudden you're completely back to the drawing board in terms of how you're going to play to begin with.
Yeah, because we've got no creativity, you know, no Clough, no Silva, no Davis.
It's not just creativity, it's just someone who's willing to take the ball on.
Yeah,
Matt Davis will just go and get the ball off the centre-backs. He'll just go and take it off them just to recycle possession and keep the ball off the people that in the team that don't want it. That's the problem, is that we don't have anyone else who's willing to do that, I don't think. I think people in our teams are able to do it. I just don't think they have it in them to go and do it. I think Dans could go and do that. I think, you know, Prattley could go and do that. But they just won't do it. So I think Vela has to play. Has to play there. There's no other choice. You cannot not do. He's someone who will go and take the ball off the centre-backs. I mean, I can't think of anyone else who'd do it. Spearing just can't pass well enough. As much as he'd probably like to do that role, he just can't pass, so he can't do it. So you're probably talking. Well, you're going to have your left back, Casado again. Centre backs, I'd probably go for Wita.
Do not say DeVito, I beg of you.
No, I was going to say Wita, and I'll say Prince, even though
suspended. Yeah.
Is he suspended?
Yeah, he got sent off there.
Oh, of course he did. Yeah, of course he did.
You have to move Derek in the middle and then play one of the right backs, because I can't cope with DeVito and Wheater as a partnership is just far too slow, and DeVito's just not been very good since he got sent off against Blackburn, I think it was.
I'll agree with you. So we'll go with Derek and Wheater there, with one of the right backs going in, any one of them. I'm not bothered, they're all competent there. Mm-hmm. So then you're probably going to have to do a diamond, aren't you, without Davis?
Definitely.
So you'll do Vela as the bottom of the diamond, with perhaps on the left, you're probably going to put Dans now, aren't you, without Wellington there.
Dans are partly really, isn't it? Both on either side, really.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Dans on the left, with maybe Feeney on the right, with perhaps Prattley as your spear, or maybe Clayton, perhaps.
See, I think what I would do, I think I'd maybe move Vela to where Davis was playing in the more attacking role and put Spear in for a bit more defensive steel, since we're away and we never win away. I feel like if Spear in's back fit, I'd put Spear in back in there, personally.
I don't think we can, because I think we just not have any possession whatsoever. Mm, we consistently give the ball away, and I wouldn't want to give Derek a reason for pinging one of those hopeless long balls to no one. So I think it'd be suicidal to do that. I think we'd be surrendering the game. We, as much as Spearing is great defensively, we just keep losing the ball.
Jamie, how do you feel the midfield should line up on Saturday?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like going away to Preston, we should probably not try and react too much to being away, not try and react too much, and just sort of focus on what we want to do and sort of maybe line up as we do at home. We don't tend to lose at home, apart from against Birmingham. Maybe just sort of go for it a bit more. And I would maybe just go for as close to the same midfield as we did at the weekend. It seemed to work. I mean, you guys were there, I wasn't. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it was.
I mean, I think just try and go for that rather than reacting, trying to be too...
So you'd keep Vela, Dans and Prattley as they were. Who would you have in instead of Davis in that more of attacking position?
I was just thinking it might be interesting to put Clayton in there. Mm. I think, did Liam mention Clayton in there? I think, Feeney's playing well up front. You put Clayton in behind, because he's got a passing and stuff, probably, isn't he? And he can sort of break up from midfield. And yeah, I think definitely not Dobby. I mean, I wouldn't start with Dobby. No. And what were we saying? Twizarik's the only other midfielder available, so yeah, I think it has to be Clayton.
I feel if we're not putting Spearing in and then moving Vela further forward, I feel like Clayton is the only player in the squad, apart from Dobby, obviously, but you don't want Dobby playing 90 minutes because he can't last 90 minutes, so he can barely last 20. I feel like Clayton's the only one with a bit more pace, so he'll be able to hurry defenders, got a pass in him, as you say. So yeah, I think my first choice, personally, since we're going away and we're shite away, would be Spearing in the middle, and then either Prattley or Vela in the more advanced position. But if not, then I'd be fine with Clayton there. And that's the other million-dollar question. Does Schuller Amiobi start, Liam?
If he's fit enough, I suppose he has to, doesn't he, really? Mm. We can't have Medine and Heskey if we're playing that formation together based on Tuesday. It was an absolute farce to anyone that saw it. So if he's fit, then yeah, but it's asking a lot of him, really.
It is. When you think he's not played, he's been without a team since the end of, since June, so that's a good 6-7 months without a team, not playing any professional football, to come straight in and play 72 minutes against a pretty solid team. He was against good defenders in Saul Bamba and Cooper. So he did have a hard game against Leeds, but obviously Preston's defence is a little more shit, so he could have a bit more of a game against them. Would you start him again, Jamie? Would you go with Amiobi?
Yeah, probably. I mean, especially if Medine's out with concussion. I mean, I don't know, it depends, doesn't it? You never know how long they can be out for with that sort of injury. But I mean, yeah, he played well, so why not if you can start him? But yeah, I mean, definitely, that's the thing. Preston aren't going to defend as well as many other teams, and they're not going to attack as well as, say, QPR did to somehow win that match. So, why not go for it and then...
Mm. Well, if Medine is to miss the game due to his concussion, then Heskey wasn't involved at all on Saturday either, and I presume that's because Amiobi came in. Heskey played a good part of the game, and again, on Tuesday, you don't want to, those legs are creaking enough as it is. But if Heskey isn't involved again, if there is like a niggly injury there or something, and Medine's unfit, who do we go with for striker backup? There's Kane Woolery, who, Liam, you could talk about him after his brief cameo against Birmingham. And then there's Jamie Thomas or Alex Samidazi. So, Liam, how did Woolery do when he came on Tuesday? And would you put him back on the bench, or would you go with the frequently scoring Thomas and Samidazi?
I think it was difficult to judge Woolery on the time that he had. But if I'm being frank, he looked a little bit out of his depth with it. I think there's a lot of people, and I spend a lot of time arguing over the graduates, and I do want them to do well. And the idea always gets thrown to me that if you're old enough, you're good enough. It's just nonsense. If you're not physically ready, you're not physically ready. Mm-hmm. It's one thing playing against 18-year-olds on an academy pitch. When you're up against seasoned defenders, like Paul Robinson, he's been there and he's done it for 20 years. It's a completely different thing, and he looked a little out of his depth. Now, it's absolutely no judgment on him because, you know, he's coming on. Really, I mean, I didn't see that sub coming, I must admit. I was surprised that they chucked
him. Yeah, I'm surprised he did, because he's just not one for actually doing that then.
Yeah, I mean, he will give you a fair go, but he won't rely on you. Mm. I mean, he looked to Woolery to make a difference, and I think, you know, it's a bit naive of Neil Lennon to do that. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't see anything that would suggest that he's ready, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he isn't. So, you know, I don't necessarily want to make any sort of judgment as to whether he should be on the bench, because they see him every day in training. I don't know, based on what I saw.
Jamie, if Medin and Heskey are both out due to their respective fitness issues, which one of the youngsters takes that bench place for you? Is it Thomas, or do you stick with the one, you know, obviously the most senior of the choices in Woolery?
I don't know. I mean, I'd be tempted to say Thomas. I mean, to be fair, we're working on the assumption anyway that Davis is out too, aren't we? So there's two places on the bench. So, I mean, maybe they'll both end up on there. But, I mean, Woolery scores less goals, and in the end of the day, that's what we need at the moment. That's what would edge it for me. And, you know, if Woolery wasn't offering that much when he came on, then maybe it's worth seeing what Thomas can offer when he comes on in that situation to turn a game.
What I will say to Liam's, I think fair point on the if you're good enough, you're old enough cliche. I do feel like if you're a natural finisher, you can probably finish, you can shoot a good ball into a net at most levels. And I think Thomas and Sammy Dazzi have both proved it over, well, Sammy Dazzi this year alone, and Thomas over the years, that they can score at whatever level they're playing at. So potentially, you know, when we need goals, potentially a natural finisher is the way to go. But
I must admit, Dan, on that, you know, I do hope you're right. And there's nothing I'd like more than that. But I must admit, I've seen it a lot of times where we've had sort of younger players that are banging them in, and then they make you step up.
I agree, definitely. So, obviously, Preston on Saturday is a massive match. What happens if we do the unthinkable and lose against the relegation rivals? We're going to be in quite a bad shape, aren't we, Liam?
I think we will be anyway, to be honest. Win, lose or draw, we're still going to be, at the end of the season, in some sort of relegation battle, I would have thought. So, yes, it's a massive game. It's a massive game. Every point that we get against teams like this is going to count massively by the time we get to April and May. So, yeah, it's huge. So it's an absolutely huge game already.
So, Jamie, what's your prediction for the game on Saturday then?
Oh, prediction for the game. I don't think I've got a single prediction right this season. Yeah, so let's say that Preston will win. I mean, I don't know. It is a must win, and I hope they can play at a level and get a result. If we're gonna end our way day hoodoo anytime soon, then this is the game to do it in. In the end of the day,
definitely.
And you got to have a little bit of hope and confidence going into a game at Deepdale. But I don't know if I can seriously go into the weekend thinking we'll win. Yeah. I think it'd be unhealthy.
It's bad because Preston are a bit of good form at the minute. I think they beat, was it Cardiff 3? Oh no, it wasn't Cardiff. They drew with Cardiff 0-0 on the weekend, and they beat someone 3-0 on Tuesday. I can't remember who, but there was a very good performance, and Preston never scored, usually don't score more than one, let alone three, unless it's the playoff final, of course. So they're in a bit of good form, but they're not very good. I mean, Beckford's out. It looks like he's out actually all season, which, you know, is good for us because he won't be scoring the inevitable fucking goal. Joe Garner, who I absolutely love, has just come back from injury, and he played, I think he made his return on Saturday. So it's weird because the team isn't very good at all. I think they've got a couple of good players in Cunningham, Pickford in the goals. Garner, Gallagher is good on his day, and I think there's a player called Daniel Johnson, a youngster, who's quite good as well. So they have got some decent players, but mostly they're really not very good. And if we don't get something, I'll be very disappointed. Liam, what's your prediction?
It's difficult to say. I mean, I constantly wrong with this, and I think it's because I'm looking at us and I'm looking at the other teams that we're playing against and thinking, we can cause problems here. Mm. You know, and I'd look at the two squads on paper and I'd probably say, we're probably better than this, but it never seems to work out that way.
Yeah.
Now, I've said this before, but I think this is the game where things will start looking up a little bit. I think if Mark Davis doesn't play, it'll still be a loss, but I think this is a. I think this has got a Darren Pratley captain's performance game all over, to be honest. I'm seeing Pratley stepping up to the plate, so I'm going to stick my neck out here and say 2-0 Bolton.
Yeah, I think I'm hesitant to. I really don't know how this will go. It could literally could go any way, Rude. So, but I'm going to stay confident. I'm going to think we're going to absolutely shit out a 1-0 win, and Casado's going to score a fucking glorious free kick. So that's my 2 cents. But anyway, we'll bring that preview to an end, and we'll be back in a minute with one last topic before we bring this ramshackle thing to a close. See you then. Hello and welcome back to this final segment of LovePod 33. Now, since this was all a bit of a last-minute ramshackle job that we put together quite late on, due to, you know, Chris lately pulling out and whatnot, there's no guess who, because I didn't do it, unless any of you have got one. No, good. And there's no question because I couldn't find it and all that stuff. So we're going to have a quick discussion of a topic, and my question I'm going to pose to you, lads, is, how much is Lennon at fault for what's gone on this season? And when is it okay to criticise him? I'll go to you, Liam, because I believe you'll have very strong opinions on this summer.
Well, sort of, I'll touch on the second point first in terms of when it's right to criticise him.
Yeah.
All the time. Everyone is up for criticism. You know, if you should look at every single thing that any player or manager does and have an opinion on it. That's, you know, that's why we go watching football, isn't it? So, He of course, it's fair to criticise and look at some of the decisions. I mean, for example, I mentioned bringing Woolery on, and I thought that was a bit naive. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a bit odd, and perhaps he was looking over his shoulder to see which of the board members were watching him bring on a struggling academy player in a situation that was no useful or healthy to his development. So, yeah, you know, of course, he can be criticised. In terms of this situation being his fault, I think that's an absolutely incredible statement, and I don't understand how anyone could have that view. I mean, it's all right us sitting here and discussing it about what can be done and how we can play, but realistically, you know, Neil Lennon is watching the same game we're watching, and he must go on and sit there and just think, what can I do about this, realistically, mm-hmm. with no funds? What can he actually do?
Nothing.
His hands aren't only tied. They've been chopped up, burnt, and thrown in the sea.
You love that line, don't you? You love that line. It's a good line. It's true, yeah.
There's nothing, absolutely nothing he can do. It should never, ever be expected for someone to, as a manager, to get a team to play above itself. That cannot be expected. That happens.
It's a bonus.
Yeah, it's a bonus. You should get that team to perform to the level that it is. And perhaps, you know, we are better than bottom of the league, but, you know, what can he realistically do? We're talking about loaning out players to try and get enough coppers together to get some sort of striker. I mean, realistically, Nate, we've spent ages arguing over what name as a striker it could be, and these players aren't even available. They're not even available, so it's just simply not his fault at all.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the reason I bring up the when is it okay to criticise him question is because I feel like there's a little bit of a taboo on Twitter for slating him because and rightfully so, and I'm because of the position he's in financially. And whilst I think it's good that for once Bolton fans are being a bit more patient with the managers and with the manager, and you know, realizing that he's easily the best we've fucking got and the best we'll ever have at this moment in time, but he has made some bewildering decisions at times. I feel like his persistence to stick with the likes of Dans and, you know, I praise Feeney, but Feeney, when the game tends to pass them by, they're like, I don't think they're as bad as most people that will make out. I don't think they're disastrous, but they don't exactly do anything. I feel like Josh Vella coming in on Saturday and playing so well and easily making our midfield look better, it just asks the questions, why the fuck has he been playing the last 13 games or whatever? And it's just, I feel like there is a lot of criticism there at Lindsdor, that a lot of the stuff that he is responsible for, the team selections, the substitutions and the signings, he's the one who's brought in, you know, some of the players who are underperforming. I don't blame him entirely, but it's weird. I feel like he's got a lot easier ride due to the position we're in. And I feel, again, is that good? Is that bad? Who knows? And yeah, I feel like I'm contradicting myself with every point I make, but I'm still 100% behind Lennon. Don't get me wrong. I still feel he's, like I said, he's easily the best we've got. He's easily the best we can get. You know, we have to stick it out no matter what happens, because he'll walk before we sack him easily. And I'm surprised he's not gone already, because to save his reputation, then, you know, if we go down, if he's the man behind the relegation and he gets that on his CV, you know, you don't have shit things on your CV, but, you know, you understand the football fucking cliche. It puts him, you know, it enforces the stereotypes that people have about him, about, you know, he's only managing Celtic, a one-man, you know, a one-team league and all that type of stuff. So I'm very surprised he's not walked, and I'd be even more surprised if he doesn't, you know, if we lose at Preston on Saturday. And then, you know, we've got Ipswich on Tuesday and Bristol on Saturday. Three winnable games, really, apart from them being two of them being away. I feel like if we come out of that, we've not at least 6 points and still in the bottom three. I don't see why he'd stay, because it's just, whilst he might be a fighter, whilst he might not want to look like he's given up, he'll just say, you know, he can easily just leave the club and say it's an unmanageable position, and then he's saved, isn't he? So, Jamie, what do you think? I rambled on far too much there.
I disagree with that, actually. I think his reputation is now tied up with what he can do at Bolton. I mean, he was struggling to get top-level jobs. You know, if he wants to manage in the Premier League, mm-hmm. he can't walk away from Bolton and expect to walk into another Championship job or better. I think he has to stick this out. He has to turn it round. And if he doesn't, then where he'll go managing Qatar or whatever it was, the offer he turned down when he came to us, I think... I think Lennon needs us to turn around as much as we do. I think it's sort of the Amiobi thing all over again. He needs us as much as we need him at this point, because at the end of the day, the reason why we got him was because no one else wanted him. Someone else came in for him better than us, then they would have had him, which is very frankly amazing. But, yeah. You know, I think an Aston Villa or something could have done a lot worse than...
Well, they did. Jim Sherwood, fucking joke. Well, and exactly. I just a bit of a side note. How people defending him on Twitter, get the fuck off it. He's shit, and I don't care how much of a poison chalice Aston Villa is. He's not a manager. He got the job because he's got pals in the media, and they all suck his dick. That's why he got it, and thank God that he's been sacked so swiftly. But please continue, Jamie. How much is it Lennon's fault, the mess we're in at the minute?
Oh, it's not. I don't think it is. I understand to an extent people getting on Lennon's back. He makes mistakes. His win record at Bolton, I don't know, it's probably the worst we've had in my lifetime at this point. I think it was at least getting towards your Megson's when I looked at it last. I mean, it's not great. And it's, apart from that upturn in form when it looked like, you know, we might go and beat Liverpool at Anfield and all this, it's dropped off since just before then. That was, what, January, February time? Mm-hmm. And we haven't been great since. So it's understandable that people are turning on him. But it's not his fault. No, I don't think so. I think the players he's brought in, maybe they're not the best, maybe they're not good enough for this league, but he didn't have the money to bring anyone else in. You know, he barely got these players in through the door, and we're not in the market to sign better players. So that's sort of a non-argument. You can't expect him to somehow magic the next Lionel Messi out of a hat on £2 a week. You know, it's sort of, he's stuck in this situation, and I don't know, you can blame him a bit for some of the selection, sort of Middlesbrough game maybe, where, you know, definitely got that wrong and stuff, but as a general theme, I don't think you can really blame Lennon for where we are now.
Yeah, I completely agree. And if there's anything else to add, gentlemen?
No.
Nothing to add, Liam? You usually have something to say?
No, not really. I think we've covered everything in terms of it completely not being Lennon's fault, and I just want to make sure that's reaffirmed and everyone understands that completely. And if you do have a different opinion on that, then, you know, you obviously don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think in this case, you know, like, I think Jimmy summed it up perfectly. We need him as much as he needs us. And on that note, I think we'll bring this fairly swift but a lovely flowing podcast to an end. It's been great to be back. I've really missed talking about Bolton, even though, you know, it brings nothing but suicidal thoughts. But hey ho, we'll get on with it. I've got a little bit of points I need to bring up. We're still in the running for that FBA. I'm very happy. I thank you all so much for your vote in the getting us into the finals, for one, and I just ask you to continue voting for us. Go onto the website, there's a pinned article, there's a, on the Twitter, there's a pinned tweet, on Facebook there's a pinned post. Just that'll tell you how to vote for us. Please vote for us again, please share, please tell everyone, every single person you know, tell them and get them to vote for us, because that'd be fucking ace if we won. There's some big accounts on there, and if we won it, I'd be very happy. You know, we're Bolton, we're used to punch, you know, giving the big boys a bloody nose, and it'd be nice if we did it as well. So please do that, and obviously follow the Twitter at Line of Vienna Steve, go on Facebook at the Line of Vienna Suite. You know, we really need your likes there to get them numbers up a bit. And obviously read the website at lineofvienasuite.com. I must say, it's not only just been quality of articles in recent weeks, it's been quantity. There's been loads of great stuff on there, from Poppy debates, from my experiences of watching Sheffield United, from actual things that are relevant to Bolton Wanderers, loads of stuff. So get on there, go and have a read, because, you know, if you listen to this, you probably do that anyway, but do it some more, yeah? You can follow Jamie on Twitter at Jamie_Moss123, and you can follow Liam on Twitter at Liam_Omira. You can follow me on Twitter at LeBrusque. And thank you for listening. C'est la vie.